Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, Wednesday edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, we have so much to do today. We have some football. The Baltimore Ravens just signed a Pro Bowl corner, and the Pro Bowl quarterback is pretty fired up. We have a lot to do on the Baltimore Ravens, a lot to do on lack of support for the head coach and the general manager in Green Bay with the Green Bay Packers. We will get into everything going on with the New York Football Giants, and Brian Daboll had some interesting things to say about his first-round draft pick at the quarterback position. Ton of baseball. We're going to rant on my Yankees, who are falling apart. I think that last night was more proof why the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. Hope you got your bets in early, and frankly, I hope you get them in often. We will get into the Blue Jays and why you should take them seriously from a betting perspective. We'll get into Rafael Devers and why he's got to make the Boston brass feel even dumber than they do after trading him. I mean, it's just incredible when you take a look at the press conference from yesterday. We got some takes. We got some big picture plays on the Giants, on the Red Sox. We will get into everything going on with Tyrese Halliburton, who addressed the press today in advance of game number 6 of the NBA Finals coming up on Thursday night in Indy. Let's start with the Stanley Cup, and Florida wins again. And if you're a fan of the Florida Panthers, if you had a bet on the Florida Panthers, my goodness, you gotta love sports. This team is a machine. This team is a juggernaut. This is officially a dynasty. I mean, there's no other way to frame it when you look at what the Florida Panthers have been able to accomplish. This team has now won back-to-back Stanley Cups. They had been in the Stanley Cup the year before, so they've been in 3 straight Stanley Cup finals, 1 back-to-back cups. This is a machine, a juggernaut, a decisive 5-1 victory in game number 6 to win Lord Stanley's Cup, and this team deserves all sorts of praise for their domination. And if you had Florida last night, and if you had them on the puck line, congratulations. And if you had them before the series started, or had them before the season started, or if you made a play on Florida after the Marchand deal, yeah, you're feeling pretty great today. I mean, think about all the different heroes from this incredible run. Sam Reinhart had one of the all-time great finals games with 4 goals. That is the first time that has happened in a Stanley Cup finals game since Maurice Richard in 1957. I mean, that's crazy. We'll take a look at Rocket Richard and what he was able to do in 1957. And now you have somebody like Sammy Reinhart getting that done with 4 goals. That's ridiculously incredible. Take a look at the other goal that was scored by Matty Tkachuk, who was absolutely sensational. Then you have Bob, 29 shots on goal, able to save 28. He had a spine like a slinky, absolutely carving out a Hall of Fame career. He deserves all the credit in the world. Thrilled for our guy Seth Jones, who was absolutely remarkable. Brad Marchand, I mean, he's such a pain in the ass if you don't root for his team. He is a difference maker if you're a Bruins fan and now a Panthers fan. We made a big deal on Make It Rain with Adam Schein when Bill Zito made that trade. How about the fact that Marchand, 6 goals in the finals, couple of game winners. He's 37 years old. He had 10 goals and 10 assists this postseason. That's absolutely remarkable. Think about what Zito did making that trade, making the Tkachuk deal a couple of years ago. And simultaneously, in essence, he brought in Tkachuk and had Paul Maurice take over as the head coach. You know, Paul Maurice has coached in 12 postseason series since he took over, won 11. This is officially a dynasty here in every possible way. So, oh, by the way, I could speak for 3 straight minutes before I even mentioned Sammy Bennett, who won the Conn Smythe. And he was absolutely outstanding. 15 goals this postseason. Just incredible. And I am just obsessed. I'm impressed. The South Florida hockey fan, the Florida Panthers fan in South Beach in Miami, it's just an incredible, knowledgeable, passionate fan. I will always defend the South Florida hockey fan. You know, baseball, basketball, we could get into, you know, how they can be fair weather. Not the Panthers fans. They were responsible because of the crowd support, building a new arena. They're smart. They're passionate. It's not just a bunch of Northeasterners who are snowbirds, Boston fans, Rangers fans down in South Florida. These are real, true fans who deserve the celebration. I've been watching all the videos, wee hours of the morning into today. They are celebrating and partying like no other. Just incredible. This is a sensational, sensational run, and it should be celebrated. It should be stamped. Zito did such an amazing job putting this team together. Barkov, incredible. The defense, incredible. They checked every single box. And look, I picked against them foolishly in a couple different rounds. Toronto and Edmonton. And, you know, you take a look at what happened after game four. They outscored the Oilers game five, game six, 10-3. Crushed them. Last night wasn't even a contest. Wasn't even a great sporting event because Florida absolutely just stomped the hell out of the juggernaut Edmonton Oilers because Florida is a machine. Congratulations to the entire organization, the players, the fans. Just an amazing, amazing Stanley Cup run. And boy, if you're an Oilers fan, this sucks. If you're an Oilers better, I was, hand is raised, it also sucks. And I thought that Edmonton was absolutely going to do it this year on the heels of what they were able to do so close yet so far last year, taking them to seven games. And as a result, they lose in six. This represents a step back. And Edmonton had a remarkable postseason run, down 0-2 to L.A., and able to get out of the first round. And the choppy waters, all three levels of the Western Conference, was obviously difficult for Edmonton to navigate. But then they get to the Florida Panthers. And look, they run into a juggernaut and a dynasty and a machine. Got to stay consistent here. But this is not good for Edmonton as, you know, you look at Connor McDavid, who is a legend. He's a god. He's iconic. And he did nothing in these finals. I mean, there's no other way to frame it. And you look at what's next here for McDavid and the Oilers. Listen, this is the final year of Connor McDavid and his contract in Edmonton. And I don't believe that he's going to force a trade. We talked about that yesterday. I mean, I don't think it helps his legacy if he says, get me to Boston, get me to Detroit or Chicago or New York, and let me lead one of those teams to a championship. I don't believe that, that's the case. I mean, if you look at the odds already and they're out for next year's winner, according to DraftKings, I mean, listen, the Oilers are favored to win the Stanley Cup. The key is they have to put more around Connor McDavid. McDavid and Draisaitl are still the best 1-2 punch in the NHL. There's no debating that. There's no disputing that. You know, I did not like the way Stu Skinner handled. I did not like the way Chris Knobloch handled Stu Skinner. I thought that was ridiculously problematic. I thought that he should have started him in game number five. You know, I would have never, and I was wrong on this, I would have never benched him after the first period for Pickard in game number four. That proved to be the jolt, and that was the right thing. But you had to realize that that was all it was in isolation, and Pickard was not the answer moving forward. So, you know, Edmonton is, you know, they like to call McDavid McJesus. They're going to have that come to McJesus moment in terms of do they want to build around him? Can they get the goaltending? Can they get the defense? Can they get the guys who can help him propel to that championship level? Because my whole case on, you know, McDavid, Mount Rushmore, McDavid, best in the big four in sports right now for 2025, it's certainly muted and it's curbed and it's neutered without the cup, needed the cup. And in last year, he was best player on the ice. Even when they lost, he won the Conn Smythe. This year, not the case, didn't score a goal. So, obviously, this is disappointing for McDavid, disappointing for Edmonton, and they are going to have a pivotal offseason. I can't see McDavid forcing a trade. I don't think he should. They need to get a better goalie, someone who's more reliable, someone who's more dominant, someone who can propel them because, again, you look at those odds, and Edmonton is still a favorite, and currently, as we speak, before the offseason gets underway, the favorite. And these odds hold up, right? It just makes sense. And Edmonton should be in position again to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, this has, you know, a bit of a feeling of, you know, Josh Allen keeps running into Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and here's McDavid keeps running into this juggernaut and this dynasty with the Florida Panthers. But at some point, you employ Connor McDavid, you have McDavid and Draisaitl have to be able to get over that hump. He's one of the most iconic, most dynamic players in the history of the league. Let's go. It's go time. Absolutely have to be able to surround him with a better goalie and more talent. How about Tyrese Haliburton? Talked to the press today. Confirmed that he does have that calf strain that we talked about on yesterday's Sizzling Edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Obviously, our good friend, the great Shams Charania, broke that story. And Haliburton confirmed, obviously, Shams is fantastic, that, you know, that is exactly the case. You know, it's interesting. Haliburton's going to be a game-time decision. And there's a calf, right? I'm not a doctor. Occasionally, they do ask me to play one on television. Think about the calf and how it impacts the Achilles. I'd be very careful here with Haliburton. I know he wants to play. There's no doubt about it. He wants to play. But I wonder aloud, and this is where I think betting on this game matters, and I would take OKC regardless, OKC minus 6.5 no matter what. I would get the bet in now because I really think there's a shot that Haliburton does not play. I'm just telling you that right now because listening to him today, this is going to be a medical decision. You know he wants to be out there. What he's done this postseason, it's already banked. It's already in the bag. And he's coming off of, obviously, because he was hurt, arguably, the worst game in NBA Finals history. What he's done this postseason has been iconic. It's been amazing. He's been Mr. Clutch. The critics, obviously, got a nice dose of shut the hell up. If I'm the Pacers and their team doctors, I wouldn't play Haliburton tomorrow night.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make smarter football bets this season. Start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you the full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get daily best bet emails from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics, and the betting tools on VSiN.com. Plus, don't miss the early bird deal. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time right now to shine on baseball. And my goodness, I am not a happy Yankee fan. And if you have been betting against the Yankees over the last five games, I mean, congrats, you win. And last night, we talked about this. If there was ever a night for the Yankees to bust out of their funk, it would have been last night, right? I mean, the New York Yankees were facing a pitcher in Kyle Hendricks who was absolutely terrible for the vast majority of this season. And Will Warren was a heavy favorite, and the Yankees were monster favorites to win. And, you know, Kyle Hendricks entered the game last night with the second worst ERA in baseball among qualified starters. So what happened? The Angels and Kyle Hendricks shut out my New York Yankees. Just incredible. Hendricks was awesome. Six shutout innings, nine strikeouts, four hits, one walk. Yankees and Aaron Boone, they shuffled the lineup. Nothing worked. Why Jason Dominguez would ever bat first, I have absolutely no idea. My New York Yankees got shut out for the third straight game. It makes no sense. The New York Yankees are too good, too talented to get shut out for the third straight game. To get shut out for the second consecutive game against the lowly Anaheim Angels. The Yankees have lost five games in a row. The Yankees have mustered only five runs in its past six games. And that includes the 1-0 win for my New York Yankees going up against Kansas City on Thursday. The Yankees, last time they have scored 5 or fewer runs over a 6-game span, 1968. Yankees haven't scored in 29 innings since the 9th inning of a loss on Saturday against the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees, chew on this nugget of futility, haven't scored a run with their starting pitcher on the mound in 6 straight games. 6 straight games. That is awful. And look, the American League East, everything is now officially up for grabs when you take a look at the odds board. It's just not good. And there are only 3 games separating the Yankees and the Rays when you take a look at the loss column. Same with the Blue Jays. The Red Sox traded their best hitter. Otherwise, they would absolutely be in the conversation. I'm not telling you to bet anybody else when it comes to winning the division. Yankees are the favorites because I still don't fully trust anyone else to catch them. But the Yankees winning the American League, it's not a good bet. Yankees winning the World Series, it's not a good bet. And we're staying consistent. We're not overreacting. It's a long season here. The Tigers have always been, for this entire season, with Hinch, with Skubal, the best team in the American League. We've talked about that consistently here on Make It Rain with Adam Schein. So this is concerning. At some point, you'd like to think the Yankees will, I don't know, score a run. But their approach is awful. Their fundamentals are awful. They don't advance runners. They have really foolish and asinine and stupid at-bats. Volpe has no idea what he's doing up there. What a mess for my New York Yankees. And this is concerning because there's a real shot the Yankees just simply overachieved for 2 months. And now they're getting back to the level where we expected them to be in that 85 to 90 win range, make the playoffs but not inspire here when it comes to the AL East and the American League. Meanwhile, Rafael Devers made his Giants debut last night, and he also dazzled at the press conference before the game. Says he'll play wherever Buster Posey wants. That's great. That's what he'll do. Remember, this is the same Rafael Devers who refused to play first base for the Red Sox. And I have never, as you know, blamed Rafael Devers. He has my full support on what happened in Boston. They did not give him the heads up when they were signing Bregman and asked him to move. And it's Devers. You don't move your best player who signed the contract, who's in the MVP conversation all the time and won a World Series for you. It's just not how it works. And if I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm even more livid at the front office listening to the Devers press conference yesterday and watching him do his thing. And then he goes out and he rips a couple of key hits. Now, the Guardians spoiled the party by beating San Francisco 3-2. But Devers certainly made his point. He took some ground balls at first base, said, I'm here to play wherever they want me to play. By the way, who do the Giants host this weekend? Your Boston Red Sox. Wouldn't that be something if he's just spraying line drives all over the yard and home runs into McCovey Cove, into the water in right field, making plays at first base for the Giants against the Red Sox? Imagine saying any of this out loud just a week ago. Absolutely incredible. It's an unbelievable deal for San Francisco. It's devastating for Boston. And I'll say this again, right? And here's how I wrap my brain around this currently, and we could talk about, and we will, the Mets fading away, or the Padres needing another arm, or the Phillies' overall roster. Dodgers, you know, are my team to win the World Series. I think this deal makes San Francisco the second best team in the National League. That's how I would rank it. Dodgers, draw the line, then the San Francisco Giants, if I'm ranking it on a trust level for the National League teams, regular season and postseason combined. Speaking of the Dodgers, Will Smith getting jiggy with it. Tie-breaking dinger leading the Dodgers past the Padres. Really incredible stuff from Andy Páez, who absolutely deserves to be on the All-Star team. 4-for-4 last night, hit a couple of 2-out home runs, drove in another run in the 5-run sixth. And this was an incredible job by the Dodgers, who were able to win. This game was spicy. This game was feisty. And it certainly goes noted, right? Big brother beating little brother, Dodgers, Padres. The Giants traded for Devers. Padres, obviously have a lot of talent. Dodgers have all these injuries, and all they do is win. Remember last year at this time when the bottom of the order was kind of a weakness for this team? Not anymore. It was a feisty game. You saw Otani get hit. You saw Tatis get hit. You saw Iglesias get hit. Dave Roberts got ejected from the game. Really impressed what we saw from the Dodgers with their toughness, with their championship medal, their never-say-die attitude. You know, they are a mentally, physically tough team. This is why you have to respect them as a team to beat, the team to beat, and why I will never pick against them at any turn here when you look at who ultimately, I believe, will win the World Series. How about the Braves? Don't look now. They've won four out of the last five. Don't look now, but the Mets have dropped four straight. I mean, this was an embarrassing loss for the Mets. And how about Juan Soto? On a ball that was hit to right field, he got caught, and he ultimately was doubled off first base. He was blaming the umpires for a late out call. Pay attention to the game. Acuna Jr. made a great catch. Juan Soto, terrible on the bases, low baseball IQ. The Mets had this one in the bank. They had it. They blew it. They lost it. Wasted a gem from Peterson. And now Atlanta is a favorite again tonight with Sale on the bump going up against the Mets. So won't be surprised if they lose a fifth straight tonight and drop another one to the Braves. Every Mets fan will tell you, anytime you see the Atlanta Braves and you have a bad loss, it's like deja vu of Chipper Jones all over again. So kind of makes you nervous and queasy here if you're a fan of the New York Mets. And another example why I've stayed very consistent, even when admitting I'm wrong so far this season on the Mets, I still bet on and bank on Philly to win this division, now just two games behind the Mets in the NL East. Don't sleep on the Blue Jays. They walked it off against the Diamondbacks, and it's really impressive. You take a look at how they're able to just continue to win. Bichette and Barger hit back-to-back homers off Shelby Miller in the ninth inning. Jays rally beat the Diamondbacks. Toronto's legit. The American League is weak. I think there is a very real shot here when it's all said and done that you see this baseball team make the playoffs. It's always been about direction and GM and manager for the Blue Jays. They have the talent. I would love, absolutely would love to see this baseball team make the playoffs when it's all said and done. I firmly believe that they have that ability and that capability to ultimately get it done. College World Series. Coastal Carolina is cruising right now. 6-0 over Louisville. 6-0 over Louisville. Arkansas beat UCLA last night. Louisville beat Oregon State. Arkansas, 1.5-point favorite against LSU tonight. We will take LSU to take care of business against Arkansas in the CWS.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now, live on the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Especially if you love baseball and you like winning bets. Greg Peterson is with us, host of the Baseball Betting Show. And of course, the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast, which is absolutely incredible. Greg, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Adam. It's a very interesting time in baseball, and my goodness gracious, when you've got the College World Series going on like you do, we actually have a game coming up in the next few minutes in the MLB. It's a good time to be alive.
Absolutely, and I love afternoon ball, whether it's college, whether it's Major League Baseball. We're always sharing a brain on that. When I'm commissioner of baseball, I will make sure there are at least two afternoon games every single day, as it should be. That absolutely should be the case. But look, we have time for that. And we've got a game that's going to start in about an hour from now with the Mariners and the Boston Red Sox. Listen, this pitching matchup is juicy. It's tasty. It's reflected in the over-under at 6.5 with Garrett Crochet going up against Luis Castillo. What are your plays on the Mariners and the Boston Red Sox?
I do think that this total has gone down just a little bit too low. Garrett Crochet has been pretty rock solid thus far this season, but let's call it what it is. The Seattle Mariners have done a nice job of knocking the ball around. Kyle Raleigh, 27 home runs to lead the league. You've got a lot of guys that just find a way on base. J.P. Crawford has had really one of the more underrated seasons in all of baseball, and being able to get where you are right now with these Seattle Mariners, I do think that you get a little bit of value with them being the underdog. I was able to get them a little bit earlier at plus money personally, and with Seattle, I do think that for them just having the guys that are the top-end guys in the bullpen, like Andrés Muñoz, who has been a really good closer, Matt Brash, since coming off the injury list, he has been incredible. Having these guys locked, loaded, ready to go, because yesterday's game was a little bit of a bludgeoning, I think that that gives them the chance to be able to get the job done. So I do like the over and the money line here of Seattle.
Listen, Crochet and Castillo is absolutely incredible. And, you know, we got a lot of aces, a lot of great pitchers on the mound. And anytime Tarik Skubal is pitching, you could color me absolutely obsessed. I'm curious how you want to play this one with the Tigers and the Pirates. Obviously, money line, it's not worth it at minus 328. Are we going to go run line? Are we going to take a look at the under? Are we going to take a look at the over for Skubal strikeouts? What are we looking at tonight with Skubal in Detroit?
I would be willing to lay up to a minus 135 on this run line. Wouldn't want to go any further. And right now I'm seeing about minus 130 to minus 135. But for those that aren't daring enough to be able to lay that sort of a run line in such a low-scoring game, I do like the under. Like, there's very few times where I'm going to be going with an under on a total of seven, but Tarik Skubal at this point is just worth it. Strikeout to walk ratio, north of an 11 this season. And it's not just Tarik Skubal. You take a look ever since the All-Star break of the 2024 season. Number one team in terms of bullpen ERA in the American League. These guys like Will Vez, you could sometimes utilize them as an opener. Brian Herter, these guys in the bullpen, they're all able to supply. They're all able to deliver. You're probably not going to need a ton of it, but if you do need a few extra innings, they've got you covered there. And Andrew Heaney doing a better job of being able to keep the ball in the yard. I recognize his strikeout numbers are down, but he's been limiting hard contact, unlike a lot of times in his career. And additionally, you do have a Pirates team that is right there towards the bottom of the National League in terms of runs per game, bottom three overall in the big league. So I think that this is a good spot for the under and that Tigers run line.
Yankees, Angels. Simply put, are the Yankees going to score a run tonight, Greg?
Well, if they don't score a run off of Jack Conowitz, then there's really just no hope for them whatsoever. How about north of a 5 ERA, north of 4 walks per 9 innings, north of 1.3 home runs per 9 innings, all while getting 6.1 to 6.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. Like, my goodness. Like, you thought Kyle Hendricks yesterday was bad. Jack Conowitz is even worse than Kyle Hendricks. I do think at some point the Yankees have to bust out. Sometimes you just hit a big, giant lull in the baseball season. It feels like the Yankees have hit that. Now, I thought that they were going to bounce out of that yesterday. I was proven wrong. Sam. I thought that they were going to bounce out of that 2 days ago. I was wrong. I'm going to go back in on it. I just can't see any way that the Yankees stay down for any longer. And I will give credit to Ryan Yarbrough. He has been a little bit better as a starter this year rather than in the bullpen. You may recall when the Rays utilized the opener system many, many years ago. The first guy that they actually utilized it for was Ryan Yarbrough. So it's interesting to see the reversal that has taken place here. But that said, I'm in on the Yankees run line and I'm in on the over. I think that this is finally the bounce back spot.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it yesterday, so I'm with you. I think it again today. It's a hot and humid night. Maybe the balls will be flying out of Yankee Stadium. I don't know. I love the pitching matchup for New York, and they were heavy favorites last night. So hopefully my Yankees get their collective heads out of their collective derrieres, and I'm with you. Yarbrough's been solid. Mets have lost four straight. Last night was mind-numbing. Chris Sale on the bump for Atlanta. Atlanta is a heavy favorite. Greg, I kind of like the Braves a lot tonight. What plays do you have with the Braves and the Mets?
Yep, and with Chris Sale, this guy has been absolutely superb ever since a rocky first few starts of the season. Being able to get that run line at north of plus 110, I am in on it. For Chris Sale, maybe he's not having quite the Cy Young season that he had a season ago, but if you look past those first three and four starts, he's not too far off of those numbers. Has given up a little bit more of the deep ball that he had last season, but strikeouts are really starting to return for him. And for this New York Mets team, it has been a little bit of a hodgepodge for them with a few of those guys towards the bottom of the lineup. With the New York Mets, absolutely love the bullpen and absolutely love the way that they're mixing and matching, but I just can't quite get there on Paul Blackburn. Blackburn had a really nice first start to the season, but he's never been a guy that's knocked my socks off throughout his career, isn't a high strikeout guy, gives up some free passes, gives up some hard contact, and this is a completely different Atlanta Braves offense with Ronald Acuña Jr. in there as well. So this is a circumstance where I'm going to be one to ride with that run line. I did take a shot on the under just because I do think that Chris Sale does a superb job of shutting down the Mets, and I do like that Mets bullpen.
Guardians, Giants. Guardians won last night, and it's noteworthy because obviously the vibes for San Francisco are astronomical, and rightly so. So I'm curious, after the Devers trade, first of all, if you have a play on tonight with San Francisco and Cleveland, Justin Verlander on the bump for the Giants. And also, first time we've talked since the trade, I'm raving about it for San Francisco. I totally fault Boston's management. I think this was a terrible deal at the worst possible time for the Boston Red Sox. I love what Buster Posey's doing. I love Devers in San Francisco. I think big picture, the Dodgers clearly team to beat in the National League and for baseball for that matter. I could easily make the case the Giants are now the second best team in the National League. Give me a play for tonight if you have one with the Giants and guards, and maybe some big picture plays for me and the audience, Greg, on the Giants after the Devers trade.
Absolutely. We'll go with the game for tonight first. Right now, we're seeing that money line in the neighborhood of like a minus 130, minus 135 or so. I'm willing to lay that with the Giants. I'd be willing to go up to a minus 140 for Justin Verlander. Yeah, he's been dealing with a little bit of injury. He's been coming just recently off the injured list. But, I mean, this is a guy in Logan Allen that has, throughout his career, had his issues with regards to command. Really is not backed up by the same bullpen as it was a year ago. Guardians last year, number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. This year, they have been relatively league average, so that's a little bit of an issue. And this is a pitcher-friendly ballpark, that total of eight, with the Giants being number one in terms of bullpen ERA. I'm in on the under, but I actually gave this out on the show, cashing out, I would say, 2 to 2.5 weeks ago. There was a time when you were able to get the San Francisco Giants at 15-1 to win the National League West. I thought that there was supreme value there. Now it's at plus $8. Yeah. I still think that there's good value. And it goes back to what I just mentioned. They do have that number one bullpen ERA. They've got so many guys that you're able to mix and match with in that bullpen. And additionally, the one thing that they were really lacking was a little bit more in the lineup, because William Adames has not been great this year. That's been a bit of a waste of money, but he does have 3 home runs in the last 10 days, so he's picking it up a little bit. I think that he picks it up a little bit more moving forward. Being able to add in the Rafael Devers is exactly what the doctor ordered for this team. And with the Dodgers, do I think that they're going to continue to find their way? Yes, but all those injuries, the likes of Blake Snell and company, who knows when those guys are going to be able to come back? We've seen the Giants do this once before as well. We recall in 2021, that year they traded for Chris Bryant. They won the division that year as well. It can be done. 8-1, I think, is just too much value.
Listen, I think you're making a lot of sense. And I'm going to always and forever pick the Dodgers. And I said that last year. I was proven correct. But you back this up with the stats, with the facts, with the numbers, with the figures. And if I think the Giants are the second best team in the National League, yeah, sprinkle a little on them to win the West. It's not crazy. Bullpen, top end starting pitching, solid manager, Devers in the middle of that lineup. Greg, you're the best. As always, we appreciate the time, my friend.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Moves is Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is already there. They don't chase the market, they move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sports books or full-time professional bettors on your own. But with Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by a cutting-edge AI, trusted insider sources. The sharp plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You'll get free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, all delivered right to you via email or X. This isn't some overnight startup. Sharp Plays has a documented track record going all the way back to 2011. Receipts, public logs, results, all right there on the site. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the old books. Check them out now. SharpPlays.com. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time for our news, notes, nuggets, and nightly plays. And hey, Jair Alexander has a new home, and it's all sorts of awesome. It's the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, Eric DaCosta, the outstanding general manager for the Ravens, makes a terrific move like this. It's a one-year deal, $6 million. Reportedly turned down more money. Carolina, that's the hometown team for Jair Alexander, was reportedly in for more money on his services for this upcoming season. But he goes to Baltimore, where he reunites with Lamar Jackson. They were best friends, college teammates, thrilled for each other when they got drafted in the first round. And I just absolutely love this. And the Ravens pass defense, of course, struggled much of last season. And honestly, it was second worst behind the Jacksonville Jaguars when you take a look at the passing yards allowed. So very, very difficult last year in terms of stopping the forward pass. And now all of a sudden you add some studs. And you have obviously Alexander and Humphrey and Starks and Hamilton and Nate Wiggins. And all of a sudden it's buckle up, Buttercup. So I think this is terrific for Baltimore. And, you know, you're looking for reasons why to take Baltimore's over at 11.5. And this is one of those, if you are on the fence, you check the over column. I mean, the schedule is going to be tough this year in some of the locations, and it's worth looking at this. At Buffalo, not great. At Kansas City, not great. They do have the Texans at home. They have the Lions at home. They have the Rams at home. They have the Bears at home. Those are positives when you take a look at some of these games that are outside, obviously, of the division. They have the Packers, a Jair Alexander revenge game coming up at Lambeau Field in December, January. That's not going to be easy, of course, with the weather, the frozen tundra, Lambeau Field. But, you know, I think Baltimore needed this. They needed to get better. So Pittsburgh's better with Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Cincinnati is better if they can get Trey Hendrickson signed. Then they haven't added any new faces or pieces on offense. Joe Burrow talking to the press about that. That's a positive for Cincinnati. So, you know, I think when you look at the Ravens and their betting profile for this year, I think that the best bet here right now today is the over on the wins. This feels like a 12-win team. I also think Baltimore to win the division at minus 145 is a good play as well. Now, picking them to win the conference or win the Super Bowl, I'm not there quite yet, which leads us into Lamar Jackson talking to the news media after we signed off the air yesterday. Jackson is on a quest for revenge after the loss that they had to the Buffalo Bills. And honestly, this is significant in terms of commentary from Lamar, because obviously, and we talk about this with Aaron Judge, we talk about this with Connor McDavid, we talk about this with Josh Allen. When you've accomplished extraordinary things in your sport and you don't have the chip, and especially with, you know, McDavid this past final, he was a Conn Smythe winner, McDavid was the year before. Aaron Judge is an epic, legendary regular season player, has not performed on that level in the postseason. Same with Lamar. I think Judge and Jackson are very similar in that regard. Yeah, he's going to be judged by playoff success. Jackson told the press yesterday, we are going to bounce back. And when we come back, I feel like we're going to have vengeance on our mind. And I think that that's great. Take a look at the preseason MVP odds. And I picked Josh Allen last year. Chances are I'll pick Josh Allen again this year. And I think that, you know, Vegas has it right. I mean, the three names that come to mind for me instantly when it comes to the regular season MVP are the top three, and they're all at the same position in the same conference when you look at Allen and Jackson and Joe Burrow in terms of regular season MVP. So I think that for Baltimore right now, It will be judged by a championship. They'll be judged. Jackson will be judged by success in the postseason. He's won two MVPs. You can make the case that last year was the best season of his career, and he didn't win the MVP. And I didn't vote for him for MVP. Josh Allen earned the MVP. All can be true. So I love Lamar's attitude. I love what he had to say. I think he's going to have a monster season. He's got to be thrilled. He was involved in lobbying for his college best friend, Jair Alexander, joined the football team today. I think that that loss against Buffalo is going to sit with Jackson for the entire rest of the offseason, into training camp, into the season, and then continue to motivate and fuel him moving it forward into the playoffs. Giants are having mini camp as we speak, and Brian Daboll, the head coach, said Jackson Dart has fit right in. That's great. And I think Jackson Dart should start for the Giants. I'm telling you right now. And here's the deal when you take a look at the Giants' schedule. Because there's going to be a lot of paralysis by analysis on, well, the Giants' schedule is tough, and you can't start them against Washington, or you can't start them in Dallas, or you can't start them against Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. And a Jim Harbaugh coach team. You know, let's look at the Saints, but what about the... Here's the answer. Jackson Dart starts when he's ready. I don't care what the Giants' record is. I don't care if it's week one. I would actually like it to be week one. I would like him to beat out Russell Wilson. I think the Giants should be better than people think. I kind of like the Giants over plus money at winning six games, plus 110. I kind of like the juice on that. I think the Giants' defense is going to be loaded up front. I think Daboll knows how to coach. Don't be surprised when the Giants are better than you anticipate for this upcoming season. The new Green Bay Packers president said they're going to wait on extensions for the coach and the general manager. This is kind of a big deal. Mark Murphy into forced retirement based upon his age. It's written into the Packers and their bylaws. And Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, 2 years left on their contracts. Which means after this season, one more year. Which means you either extend them or you fire them. And that's an important backdrop here. Because Vegas has the win total for the Green Bay Packers at 9.5. You look at the schedule, and I frankly don't trust Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. I think that the Vikings are better, the Bears are better, and you can make the case roster-wise, the Lions are better. I think that the Packers are better coached than Detroit, especially after Dan Campbell lost Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. I don't like Dan Campbell as an in-game coach. So I think the Packers are ripe to underachieve. I don't think Jordan Love is that great. As much as I love the golden pick, I don't think the defense is difference making. The run game is solid, but you look at the Green Bay Packers and their betting guide, I'll tell you the best bets on this profile miss the playoffs and the under. That's where I'm at right now for the Green Bay Packers. How about Caitlin Clark absolutely destroying the Connecticut Sun? And you had some brouhahas that were ultimately unfolding last night. And honestly, it's embarrassing. And, you know, Mabry should have been thrown out of the game. And I love the fact that you had teammates for the Fever sticking up for her, and rightly so. And we told you this team's going to kick ass and take names. Why I picked Caitlin Clark before the season to be the MVP. Why I picked the Fever and bet on them to win a championship this year. Get in on Caitlin Clark at plus 250 now. Love Sophie Cunningham throwing J.C. Sheldon down for the Sun. Hard foul, letting them know that we are not going to take it anymore when it comes to messing around and finding out with our superstar. The refs embarrass themselves. I'm going to say it one more time. Caitlin Clark is like Tiger Woods on the impact when it comes to a respective sport. And I love what I'm seeing from Caitlin and her teammates. Don't like what I'm seeing from the rest of the league and from the refs. Time right now for the best bets brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet and Visa. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. First 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank, VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion, limited to customers. Opening a new account in response to the offer. Will not apply to requests to convert to existing accounts. Sunny gray day, baby. Over 6.5 strikeouts, plus money, plus 120. You're welcome, America and Canada. Mitch and Paulie coming up next. Thanks to Sean and our crew in Vegas. Thanks to the great producer, Michael Cohen. We'll talk to you manana. Make it rain with Adam Schein.